This is the Ag Queen Podcast. This podcast explores the agriculture industry with the movers and shakers of those shaping it. Here's your host, Lori Boyer.
I welcome in my guest here today, Caitlin Glover, Executive Director of the Public Lands Council. We'll focus our conversation on what we call, or what I'm calling anyway, the Maud case. And this has to do with a couple in South Dakota and some of their land rights, or their Forest Service use rights, I should say. So, Caitlin, please give us a background on what's going on with this situation.
Sure, Lori. Thanks for chatting again about this and your attention to this case. The Maud family have ranched in South Dakota for essentially the last century. Over the last century, they've raised cattle. They've put up some hay crops. There has been some cultivation of their landscape. Their story is really a lot like the story of anybody else in southwestern South Dakota or Nebraska or Wyoming or Montana, or really anywhere in the West, where this family has had a successful ag operation, but has had to work with a federal agency over the last number of years to maintain boundaries and to coordinate those cultivation activities. Earlier this year, the Maud family were indicted, the mom and the dad, the husband and wife. The ranchers were indicted separately on criminal charges of theft of federal land. And this sounds really significant, right? Because the charges are incredibly, I mean, they're just remarkable, given what the reality of the situation is. The reality is that the Forest Service law enforcement officer who visited their operation suddenly took issue with a fence line that has been there for the last number of decades, and suddenly raised issues with cultivation of a Forest Service inholding in a pasture that has been there, again, for the last many decades. These are issues that are not uncommon across the West, because there are so many boundary issues there. You know, in Wyoming and Nevada, you have checkerboarded landscapes. You have these situations where boundaries are often resurveyed to confirm decades or century old surveys. But what's really uncommon here is the path that the law enforcement officer of the Forest Service and ultimately the Department of Justice took to resolve this boundary issue. Rather than working through administrative pathways like they do in every other case, the agency and the Department of Justice decided to take this mother and father, put them in a really precarious position, indict them separately as if this was a murder trial or other significant criminal act. And they are facing 10 years in prison each and $250,000 fine each for essentially what amounts to a 50-acre dispute over where land boundaries are drawn and where they exist within a pasture. The Mauds have obviously been addressing this through their own legal means, but we as an industry and as stakeholders have some pretty significant concerns about why the agency let it get this far, why they chose criminal federal charges rather than an administrative resolution, and wanting to make sure that this doesn't happen to anybody else.
Now, you mentioned that it's not uncommon for every few years for officials to go in and kind of reevaluate or reassess where things are at. Had that happened on this ranch or with their fencing before?
So as I understand it, there have been surveys over the years, and there have been some readjustments of boundaries, because a lot of the surveys in the West are either decades or sometimes even centuries old, because you don't resurvey unless you have a need to resurvey. The Mauds, as I understand it, were visited by a survey team, but not with any sort of notice from the agency. And the results of those surveys, I don't believe, have been shared outside the agency at all. So while there has been a survey effort ongoing, we're not really sure what that survey says, which is also part of the problem here.
Yeah. Is that even legal to withhold that information from them?
Well, Lori, I'm not an attorney, and I think everything is complicated here by the fact that they were indicted before any of this information was shared with them. But in any normal operation, the Forest Service would have worked collaboratively with a landowner or with a grazing permittee, would have told them that a survey team was coming. That deliberation, that process would have taken quite some time. And then if there were issues that arose, that would have been part of a discussion around a table to resolve any issues, if any arose. And that's just simply not what happened here.
To your knowledge, when the Forest Service does do a survey and maybe an adjustment needs to be made, is there usually a letter of warning or a letter of correction? I don't know what the typical term would be called, sent out to the somebody like the mods to make that correction before all this got to this point?
Absolutely. There is a whole process, Lori, that the agency goes through. It's notification, it's meetings, it's conversations, it's creating a record of justification that normally justifies a peaceful outcome, right? That there's a land trade, that there's a boundary adjustment, that there's a permit issued to address the issue. And that, again, that just didn't happen in this case. And unfortunately, I think that is due in part to the fact that law enforcement was involved so early in this case. Law enforcement raised the issue, and unfortunately, the program staff don't appear to have provided that notification. To any other grazing permittee who's listening here, know that there is a process, right? There is a process that the agency is supposed to go through so that there is never a case where anybody should be blindsided by any sort of boundary issue or otherwise.
Well, just based on what you're saying and what I'm reading, it sounds like it's the other way around. It sounds like it is the Forest Service that should be in trouble, not the mods.
Well, I look, if I were an attorney, that's certainly what I would argue, right? Especially when the agency has made some allegations about where their fence is, where their boundaries are, their responsibility to know what's within their inholdings and to know what's going on their landscapes. There certainly is a really heavy responsibility for them as well to be good partners. The Forest Service, they manage lands for the betterment and the benefit of the American people, and the mods and all other grazing permittees, private landowners, they are the American people as well. And so wanting to make sure that when we see cases like this, it really sort of undermines that process. It shakes the faith and the credibility of their desire to be partners. And so it's absolutely awful what the mods are going through because it's so outside of that norm. Our desire, our priority is to make sure that we can find an outcome that's good for the mods, that's good for this family, for this mother and for this father, and also make sure that nobody else goes through this process, because this process is irretrievably broken.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't want to set the standard for another one or anyone else to have to go through this.
No, the Department of Justice should not be seeking federal criminal charges for farmers and ranchers who are taking good care of their lands and who may have an administrative issue like a boundary anywhere in the West. They should be focused on being good partners. And while there is definitely a role for Forest Service law enforcement, we typically see them when there is violence on federal lands or drug development or drug interference with federal lands. We see it with degradation of federal lands. We don't see them typically involved over a fence line that could have been easily resolved.
Interesting. Okay. Anything else you want to add before we wrap up here today, Caitlin?
Well, Lori, I mean, I think I can't just, I have to understate or underscore here that our desire and our work here with members of Congress, with senior agency and senior administration officials, and with local partners as well, is really to find an outcome that is favorable for the Mod family and make sure that the grazing permittees across the West not only know that there's a robust administrative process to deal with these kind of situations, but also know that they have people advocating for them to protect protect those grazing rights. A huge part of that is our partnership here. The Public Lands Council has policy that we develop every year. We're meeting in Colorado, so it's a great opportunity for folks to come visit. But also, we're here in Washington, D.C. all the time to create the relationships, to create the visibility and the proximity to address and advocate for farmers, for ranchers, for grazing permittees when situations like this arise. Our partners at NCBA and ASI and all the rest continue to be really valuable partners in our work, and we will continue our work with them and with the Association of National Grasslands to find a good outcome for the MODs.
My guest here today has been Caitlin Glover, Executive Director of the Public Lands Council.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Ag Queen Podcast with your host, Lori Boyer.